Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading part 6 of Miracles Cast in Blood, written by Jarrett. I hope you've been enjoying this series so far. Let's get started. Dennis Randall! The police sergeant boomed through the loudspeaker. Come out with your hands up! An army of 20 police vehicles had surrounded this white barn in the middle of nowhere. One of the district attorneys had discovered this address while combing through evidence and was convinced that there was a hostage situation going down. The photographic proof had left no doubt. Dennis Randall was kidnapping and abusing children, so the police had sent every warm body they had and established an impenetrable perimeter. They'd only been here a few minutes when a car pulled up behind the barricade, a local reporter who had to be held back. He wanted to go in guns blazing, but that wasn't going to fly. That wasn't the way these things worked. That was cowboy stuff. This was to be clinical, procedural. Suddenly, one of the barn doors opened. Dennis Randall emerged. The police immediately drew their weapons and trained them on the man in the Hawaiian shirt, but he wasn't alone. He pushed a wheelchair ahead of him, a lump covered by a blanket. A hostage? Dennis! Step away from the hostage and walk towards us with your hands up, the sergeant boomed again. Dennis wagged a finger and laughed. I don't think so. This response caught the police off guard. Before they had time for a reply, Dennis ripped the blanket free. The goddess howled. Suddenly, the police officers covered their ears, dropping their weapons on the ground. Dennis lapped up the madness as one of the officers drew his pistol, pointed it underneath his chin, and fired. A spray of red brain matter splattered the ground as the dead man fell in a heap. The goddess shrieked louder, a maddening cacophony of howling men, their minds unable to comprehend the sight before them. Some of the police officers drew knives and began hacking away at their throats and eyes. Some impaled themselves on tree branches. All around, men were killing themselves, their conscience overwhelmed by pure, unadulterated power. Dennis Randall laughed as he slipped back into the barn. Looks like we've got ourselves a party. James Lloyd slipped through the front door of the Harrington house and stared dismayingly at the bloody, ruined corpse of Charlie Sanders. Not as if he was a good asset. Unwilling participants usually weren't, but still, he had an in no one else did. Oh well, it was no great loss. Inconvenient, yes, but nothing catastrophic. The foyer seemed to close in around him as he stared at the mangled back. 6 bloody holes spread out and leaked like pus from a zit. His ears perked up as he heard the wailing cries from the mother as she sobbed into her telephone. He heard her relay the home's address and realized she was speaking to 911. He had to get out of here and let Dennis know about Charlie. Without a word, he stepped back outside, darted across the street, and slid into the driver's seat of the SUV. He sped off, obeying the speed limit all the way. As he turned out of the neighborhood, he dialed Dennis. Can she do it? James asked. Dennis tightened his grip on the phone. Nah, she's not the best shape. The whole reason I had you and that useless moron go kidnap that girl is so she wouldn't have to get involved, he shouted into the phone. The goddess slouched back in the wheelchair, her form wilting like a dying flower. She's gonna try. The house is going to be swarmed by cops any minute. Mother was on the phone with emergency when I left. Oh, I doubt that. What? Why? You'll see when you come back. Dennis couldn't hide the chuckle that burst forth. Okay, but you need to try to get the girl. The goddess can drag her there. No! The shout was boisterous. She'll die if we don't. Damn, Dennis, I'll die if we don't. Dr. James Lloyd, the good, upright therapist, was battling kidney failure. Polycystic kidney disease ran in the family, causing large cysts to form on the kidneys, eventually leading to failure of the organ altogether. He'd been on dialysis for a year and hadn't gotten a match for a prospective transplant. At only 36, he was becoming desperate. It was around that time that Dennis Randall had come into his life and offered him a way of salvation, but not without a price to be paid. As a member of the group, James was to screen prospective children or teenagers for Dennis and report to him on their mental state and medical history. As their psychiatrist, he had access to a wealth of private medical information, thus making him exceedingly useful. One might think that it would be suspicious that so many of his patients go missing, but the truth was that Dennis selected so few children, and many that were former patients, that the connection wasn't drawn. Furthermore, he could select adults, but the goddess preferred younger flesh, as did Dennis, although for entirely separate reasons. The problem had started with this Lizzie girl. She'd been a perfect candidate as a transfer for the goddess. But then Dennis had to go and get the hots for her and screw everything up. Went up to her out of the blue after school, got out and tried to solicit her for sex. Then after she runs away, he goes and gets charged with showing illicit material to a minor. She had subsequently turned 18 in the time since, but that didn't stop Dennis Randall. He drove over to her house time after time, even after getting a restraining order placed on him. Didn't matter. The last time he was rejected, he had to outmaneuver the police department to avoid getting arrested. The last he dared to drive over to the house, he'd parked down the street so Lizzie wouldn't spot his car out of the window, then kidnapped her by throwing her into a canvas sack and tying it shut. She'd kicked and screamed, but it was late at night and he'd brought the goddess along so the two could get acquainted. Then Lizzie escaped, even after getting touched by the goddess. That one was a real mystery at the time, but what was so mysterious about a girl dislocating her wrist and slipping out of handcuffs? James supposed it was possible, with the girl being shy of 100 pounds and all, yet what remained a mystery was how the girl resisted the goddess's influence, and now, to make matters worse, everything hung in the balance. Lizzie's escape had detailed their plans, leaving the goddess weakened and Dennis unhinged. James knew that if the goddess died, so did he, and for a man with nothing left to lose, that was a risk he couldn't afford to take. He heard Dennis take a breath. Okay, I can try. But if I see even a hint that she can't take it, I'm pulling the plug. Okay, and what about the others? You know how it works? The entire bloodline comes when it's summoned, all of them at once. Dennis placed his hand on the goddess. He spoke softly. Bring her to us. The goddess stiffened, then began emanating a low, eerie hum. Tom felt a tug at his neck. He loosened his collar, coughing as he readjusted himself in the driver's seat. The rain hammered against the windshield, the wipers fighting a losing battle to clear his vision. His knuckles whitened on the steering wheel as he ruminated over Jessica's email. Lizzie, Dennis, the hideout. It was all too much. Then it came, a violent jolt from behind. The car fishtailed on the slick road, tires squealing as Tom wrestled the wheel to keep it steady. Opposing traffic honked, headlights flashing. Panic surged through his veins. He was sure he'd just been rear-ended. He glanced in the rear view and saw nothing. No car, no headlights, just the empty blackness of a desolate road. Suddenly another jolt, harder this time. His body flung forward in the seat, the steering wheel slamming him in the chest. Tom fought to regain control, but the car was out of control. It veered wildly, skidding dangerously close to the lip of a ditch. He slammed on the brakes and was just able to stop himself from rolling. Then an earth-shattering crash, the windshield exploding inward. Something massive and impossibly strong yanked him forward, glass lacerating the air as it rained down around him. His seatbelt locked and dug into his chest, choking him as he wrenched free. The ice-cold rain felt jarring against his face as he was dragged through the broken window. His body slammed onto the hood, slid across it, and splattered down on wet pavement, the impact jarring every bone in his body. He tried to scream, but breath was knocked from his lungs. A shape loomed above him, indistinct in the rain. It was all wrong. Its silhouette seemed to hover then disappear, only to reappear in a new form. The air around it was suffocating, heavy with the stench of rot and ancient decay. The headlights of his car flickered languidly as Tom crawled backward, his hands slipping on the slick asphalt. The thing crouched, its wet, rasping breath filling the air. He could see it now. Its eyes burned a sickly red, its skin a shifting mass of revolting flesh. It reached for him with a limb that was more tendril than arm, dripping with vicious fluid.
No, stay away,
Tom choked, his voice harsh and ragged over the storm. The tendril wrapped around his ankle, its touch freezing and searing all at once. It dragged him, his nails scraping uselessly against the road as he fought to free himself.
Help! Somebody help me!
He screamed into the void. But there was no one. No one to hear him. No one to save him. Marjorie cried out as Lizzie flew backwards. She extended her arm full stretch, trying to clutch her daughter's hand, but she came up with only empty air. She watched helplessly as Lizzie flew down the stairs, the same stairs that man had tumbled down only minutes before. The button of her chin caught the lip of each stair during her descent, thumping against each one. Her teeth chattered and smacked together after each impact. Marjorie rose to her feet, her legs still wobbly from the jolt she'd received, and hurried down the stairs. Without warning, a force swiped under Marjorie's legs, causing her already precipitous balance to falter. She fell back, slamming full force on the stairs directly on her shoulder blades. Crying out from the pain in her back, she was dragged down the rest of the staircase in similar fashion to Lizzie. The back of her head caught on each stair, rearranging her brain and causing her to see stars. When she reached the landing, she glanced up through eyes blurred with tears and pain, just in time to see Lizzie slam against the door, hard enough to splinter the wood at the hinges. Marjorie felt herself lifted up in the air, flying, you might say, as she careened towards her daughter. Powerless to stop her forward momentum, she crashed into Lizzie. They both wailed from pain as the door gave way. They were flung outside, their feet lifted up in the air. Marjorie craned her head around. That's when she saw it. The goddess. They'd all been dragged here. Well, three of them anyway. It was easy to distinguish them. The disheveled ones with grass stains, cuts, and bruises. It had taken a lot out of her. She lay flat on the ground, her breathing raspy and quiet. Dennis knelt beside her and gave her a wet, sloppy kiss. This earned revolted cries from the five captives, chained to one of the sturdy pipes that ran across the floor. Neither Dennis, Hal, or James had bothered to tape the prisoners' mouths shut. They got all giddy at the prospect of a transfer. But when they had so many participants, the excitement morphed into something more like ecstasy. Dennis rose from where the goddess lay and bit back the smile that threatened to pop over his features. He turned and addressed his prisoners. The red light offered its characteristic flicker. You all saw those dead cops outside, I take it. Variations of you monster and you evil bastard rang out from the group. Dennis only smirked. Let me just say this. You don't behave. You end up like them. Got it? No answer, so he shouted. Got it? Meek mumbling was the only reply. Good, he said, pacing the room. Now I'm going to need one of you as a volunteer. The fear that came over all five faces filled them with a sick kind of joy. When no one raised their hand, he said, Ah, no takers. Well, if we have no volunteers, I guess I'll just have to pick. He made a point of wiggling his finger in the air, hovering it over Jessica, then Lizzie, then Marjorie, then Tom, and finally Joey, before moving it back to Lizzie. Dennis saw Tom and Marjorie's eyes widen. Marjorie wailed, No, you don't touch her, you filthy bastard. She bucked and struggled against her chain restraints. She moved maybe 6 inches forwards before the chain pulled taut and held her in place. Dennis gestured to Hal and James, and they both grabbed the squirming Lizzie over the anguished protests of her parents. Dennis slipped inside an adjacent room and returned moments later, pushing a large wooden box. It was a coffin, but it was placed on top of a wheelable gurney. You won't get away with this, Jessica gritted between clenched teeth. Dennis chuckled again. Hey, lawyer girl says she's going to lock me up. Now, where have I heard that one before? He scratched his head sarcastically. When I get out of here, I'm going to throw the damn book at you. Her cheeks were flushed. Spittle coating the corners of her mouth in a sheen. Dennis stopped and stared at her. When you get out?
Yes.
You keep talking. And you're gonna regret it. Jessica, the closest thing to a human bulldog, spat contentiously.
Monster!
She lunged forward, the chains shackling her wrists, straining as she remained locked in place. Dennis's eyes glanced to the ground as he shook his head. His lips drawing into a thin, tight smile. He looked back up, addressing the entire group. Does anyone here like music? Confusion clouded them collectively. Well, When no replies echoed back, he said, "Well, if there's no preferences, I'll pick. I like something to drown out screaming. It upsets the goddess." His tone was laced with sarcasm. He walked over to a small side table where an old boombox took up the entire space. The rustling plastic of cassette cases filled the otherwise quiet room. Finally, he selected one, popped the tape into the deck, then hit play. The volume was quiet on the tropical soft rock refrains of Margaritaville. "Anyone else like Jimmy Buffett?" he asked the group as he began dancing. The display was disturbing. "Oh, come on! No one?" No reply from any of the five. "Well, you're not gonna like this either." Dennis abruptly ceased his putrid display of dancing, pulled a pair of hedge trimmers from his pocket, and squatted down next to Jessica. Her eyes widened, sensing something wicked about to happen. She curled her right leg underneath her and was working on the left when Dennis snatched her ankle and straightened her leg out. She flailed and arched her back, but Dennis had leverage over her as he slipped the sharpened, curved blades over her big toe. "I warned you," he said coldly. She pleaded, her eyes puddling. He squeezed the handles. The crunch of bone filled the room. Horrified, disgusted cries from the other four. Jessica threw her head back and shrieked at the loss of her big toe. Blood spurted like a severed water line onto the floor. Dennis snatched up the severed digit, tossing it up into the air and catching it, before sifting over to the goddess and dropping the toe into her open orifice, where it disappeared into the black maw. Lizzie tried to make a run for it, but James caught a fistful of her hair and wrenched her back, kicking and screaming.
"You animal!"
Marjorie wailed.
"You sick son of a bitch!"
Tom shouted.
"Stop! Please!"
Joey's tears flowed freely. Dennis barely noticed the outcries as he danced again to the song. Jimmy began his all-too-familiar line of "Searching for my lost shaker of salt," when Dennis snapped his fingers. He went to the jukebox, reached behind it, and retrieved a salt shaker, the kind found on any dinner table. He unscrewed the lid, tossed it aside, and bent down to the still howling Jessica. Iniquitously, he shoved the bottle of salt onto the still splurting, bloody stump. The atrocity was met with more screaming. Satisfied that he'd proven his point, he rose and tossed the now pink salt crystals across the room, the jar scuttling to a far corner. He clapped once. "So, now that we all know I'm serious, let me tell you why you're all here." He stepped over to the wooden box and threw off the lid. A blackened, crispy husk of a corpse lay inside. "Do any of you know who this is?" He scanned the traumatized group. Jessica had passed out, her body laying stiffly in the corner. The rest either shook their heads or stared absently. He pointed to Tom.
"Oh, come on, Mr. Reporter. You should know this."
Tom looked at him questioningly.
"Who is that?"
"Jackie, my sister."
Tom's eyebrows practically flew off his head.
"You don't mean..."
"Yes."
"You and those feds helped burn her alive."
"No. No, it wasn't me. You can't possibly..."
"I can. That old imbecile. That Elkins fellow, he told you about us. If it wasn't for you and your damn articles, those two teenage morons wouldn't have strolled onto our property, but no. They ignored the trespass warnings, and I have to be the one to shoot them. At least, this baby..." He stroked the goddess. "Got to eat."
"Eat?"
Tom stared at the goddess, then at his daughter who was still clutched in Jamie's grasp.
"What do you mean, eat?"
"After the transfer, she's got to eat the heart."
"What?"
Tom and Marjorie both shouted in unison.
"What's a transfer?"
"A transfer," Dennis began, "is what makes her the greatest miracle in human history. It allows us to transfer disease and illness from one person to another. She sucks out the illness from one person, but it can't stay in her or she'll die. She's like a dish sponge. She's got to get wrung out, or she can't clean any more dishes. So I pick someone healthy. Child works best, and transfer the illness onto them." Jimmy Buffett stopped his singing about Florida and flamingos. Through gritted teeth, Marjorie seethed.
"You take our children and use them for your own exploitative bullcrap?"
He ignored her. "Hey, Joy, you want to know a secret?"
The boy looked up from his pit of sorrow.
What?
He whimpered. Your daddy's dead. Dennis chuckled as he watched the boy's face scrunch up and begin sobbing.
You evil!
Marjorie was cut off by Dennis's raised hand.
It's not exploitative at all. It's a miracle. That's what it is. Here, I'll show you.
But before I do... He squatted down next to the inconsolable Joey. He ruffled his hair.
Hey.
Hey. The boy looked up.
I know who killed him.
What?
He sniffled. Your dad. You want to get back at the ones who hurt him, right? The boy nodded. Good. Dennis unlocked the boy's shackles and tossed him the pair of bloody garden pruners. Who's Marjorie over there? She shot him in the back 5 times, ain't that right? He looked over at James, who held a now violently struggling Lizzie.
Sure did.
Joey crawled over on his bony knees, his legs too weak to stand.
You murdered my dad?
His face was a hard mask of rage over the sorrow. His breathing was deep and loud like a volcano ready to explode. Tom fought against his restraints, to shield his wife, but the shackles kept him in place. Marjorie shook her head, backing away in shock and surprise.
No, no, honey, he's lying.
I'm not, Dennis said. He walked over, forced Marjorie around and held out her palms, stained black with gunpowder residue.
That's not enough proof, Joey. How about this?
He spun her back to face Joey and wiggled his hand under her chin, forcing her head up.
Look at these 2 small red spots. You know what these are.
Your dad used a stun gun to try to protect himself, and she shot him dead like a dog. Marjorie began to panic as Dennis stepped away.
Joey, baby, listen to me. He's twisting everything, I swear to you. Please don't believe him.
Her voice cracked, her words tumbling over each other like stones in a riverbed.
How old are you?
She asked.
15. Okay, okay,
she stammered.
Lizzie's 18.
She jutted her neck in the direction of her daughter.
Pretty close to you. I promise you no one here will hurt your dad, okay?
Joey, your dad died screaming for you.
James shouted. Lizzie began to kick, jumping up in the air.
Hell, I need some help here, he called.
The fat man trudged over, but not before Lizzie turned her head and bit her therapist's wrist. Hal rushed at Lizzie as James howled in pain, but she jumped up and landed a sneaker sole kick directly to the man's groin. Dennis put a hand on the goddess.
Stop her, he said.
Suddenly, Lizzie was frozen in place as the two men recuperated.
The boy lacks conviction. Made him kill her, he said.
No,
Tom shouted and tried more fiercely than ever to protect his wife. Joey's eyes hardened and he turned back to the whimpering Marjorie, who'd shrunken back against the cold wall.
It was him,
Marjorie cried.
He set your dad off to kill people, I swear.
Joey's expression didn't change as he moved towards her. When he was within striking distance, Marjorie kicked at him, but Joey raised the pruners, their blades still closed, and plunged the stained steel into her shin. The bone splintered like an old wooden plank as the woman screamed, the sound reminiscent of Jessica's from only minutes before. But he wasn't done. He stabbed again, in her thigh this time. He methodically crawled up her body like a mountain climber stabbing their pick into a sheet of ice. Her stomach, then her chest. Then he mutilated her neck and face, turning her face into the consistency of jello and decorating the walls with bone confetti.
No!
Tom screamed. Lizzie remained locked in place but bore witness to the vile cruelty. The chaos caused Jessica to come to, and she blinked in the red light. The boy was quickly locked in place by the goddess once his deadly task was fulfilled. Tom strained against his chains to attack him, tear him limb from limb, but the attempt was futile. Dennis clapped happily.
All right, now that that's out of the way, let's get on with this.
He yanked the goddess into position in front of Lizzie, her mouth opening widely. Her shirt was lifted, exposing bare flesh. The suckers attached to her chest. Tom's vociferations were drowned out by a rumble, an otherworldly shaking. Blood began to ooze from the puncture wounds. Then, without warning, the goddess suddenly reared back and shrieked, bowing as if in prayer. Her mouth remained open, but it widened further until it was cavernous. Dennis's eyebrows raised.
What's this?
He asked, bewildered. Lizzie stared at the goddess, her eyes bleary and lifeless. Crawl in. She wants me to crawl in. It was as if they were communicating telepathically. Dennis froze, his smirk slipping for the first time. "What the hell is she doing?" he muttered. "She's mine. Mine!" He kicked the goddess in the side. It didn't flinch, didn't so much as react. It sat there waiting, expectant.
"We can all look at her now. She's dying. She's dying. She's dying," Lizzie repeated.
"Now hold on." Dennis came between Lizzie and the goddess. Lizzie continued her monotone, spaced out delivery.
"She didn't want you to hurt them. Had no choice."
Dennis turned and shouted down at the goddess. "Who saved you from that fire? Huh? Me or her?"
"She was normal once. Always had powers. But you hurt her."
Dennis got in Lizzie's face as Tom and Jessica stared. "Shut up!" Saliva splattered Lizzie in the face. James and Hal backed Dennis up, forming a semicircle around the girl.
"She wants me to crawl in. Crawl in. Crawl in."
Became a litany. Suddenly, the three men flew in separate directions, slamming against their respective walls. They all cried out in pain as the world shook again.
"Crawl in. Crawl in. Crawl in."
Lizzie took a step towards the open void. She got down on all fours and, through her father's horrified protest, crawled into the goddess.
"Lizzie!"
Tom shouted. Jessica stared on, stunned. The mouth closed, entombing Lizzie in a cocoon of horrid flesh. There they remained for a moment. Everyone watched, waiting for something to happen. Finally, after an eternal wait, the goddess simply disappeared, vanishing into thin air. She dissolved, her mangled form gone forever, leaving Lizzie cowered in the fetal position on the floor. She was now the goddess. It was a miracle. Dennis's hands flew to his head, clutching his hair in white-knuckled fists.
"No!"
His eyes flew to the corpse of his sister, then to Lizzie. A realization formed in his mind. He stormed over and grabbed her arm, dragging her over to the blackened corpse.
"Fix her!"
he shouted. Lizzie looked up, her lip quavering.
I don't know how yet."
Dennis backhanded her.
"Fix her!"
"You loved her."
Dennis paused, staring at her.
"Yeah, I did. Now fix her!"
He reared up again.
"No, you didn't just love her. You wanted to have children with her. An incestuous relationship."
Dennis gasped. "How did you?"
"I can see everything in your mind," Lizzie said.
"But..."
She cut him off.
"You're afraid. You do all of this because you're afraid. You want to live forever, so you forced her to heal you, to suffer for you. You're afraid of getting caught, so you find corruptible members of your town to do your dirty work for you. You abduct children, plague them with awful illness, then kill them and feed their hearts to her. Speaking of which..."
She turned to the fat judge, still pinned to the wall. With a flick of the wrist, Dennis was rooted to the floor. Lizzie walked over to Hal, and without warning, tore off his shirt. He shouted in protest as he dug her nails into his chest and began to tear. Skin and muscle peeled off in ribbons as she clawed like a rabid animal. She sunk her mouth into his chest and chewed over his agony until his still beating heart was consumed. She did the same to her beloved therapist, taking extra time to let his betrayal sink in. His dying thoughts must have been plagued by remorse, but this, of course, was never going to be enough. Dennis stared slack-jawed, never had control slipped from his fingers, and in such sudden fashion. Once Lizzie was finished feasting, she wiped her bloody mouth and stepped back over to Dennis.
"I'm going to let you live, but there's something I'm going to try first."
She bent over to Joey, his broken body, and placed her mouth over his chest. She began to inhale like an asthma patient would an inhaler. Joey's back arched as his muscle definition returned to his arms and legs, his malnourishment evaporating. Lizzie, her body changing from healthy to emaciated, crawled over to Dennis and placed her mouth over his chest and blew. Dennis cried out, begged her to stop as his legs and arms crumbled to paper-thin sticks. He crumbled to the floor like an old potato sack. Lizzie calmly stood, her appearance back to normal, and did the same to Jessica, her toe growing back like a starfish. Lizzie cried out as her own toe severed. She once again crawled back over to Dennis and blew on his chest, his big toe suddenly severing off where the digit met the foot. His chest, wait, more howling. Still, she wasn't done. She went over to her dad and unclasped his restraints. As she did Jessica and Joey, she apologized for her forgetfulness. Walking over to her mutilated mother, she placed her lips over her chest. They hovered there for a moment before she took the plunge. She closed her eyes and inhaled deeply. Marjorie's battered body jerked, her shredded skin knitting together, her fractured bones aligning with grotesque pops and cracks. Blood seeped back into her veins as Lizzie's body shrank once more, her limbs trembling with the strain of the transfer. When Marjorie finally took a deep, rattling breath, Lizzie collapsed onto her side, barely able to lift her head. Tom fell to his knees beside Marjorie, his hands shaking as he cradled her face.
Marjorie! Marjorie, can you hear me?
Her eyes fluttered open, weak, but alive.
Tom?
She rasped, her voice faint.
Yeah, it's me. I'm here.
He stifled a sob as he held her. His attention turned to his daughter. He scooped her up in his arms and walked her over to Dennis and placed her on the ground. Lizzie sat up slowly, her breathing ragged. Her sunken cheeks and hollow eyes made her appear ghastly, but her insides burned furiously. She turned to Dennis, who remained frozen in place, rooted by her newly acquired powers.
"You think I'm done with you?"
she whispered, her voice low and chilling. Dennis's lip quivered as he shook his head.
"Lizzie, please, you don't understand. I did what I had to. I..."
"Enough,"
Lizzie snapped weakly. She crawled until she leaned over him, her movements slow and deliberate.
"It's time you paid your debt to us."
She lowered her mouth over his chest. Dennis screamed as his limbs contorted unnaturally, his joints bending at impossible angles. Skin and bone and muscle melted off his face like some wax from a candle. Lizzie's eyes glowed with an ethereal light as she reveled in his misery. Dennis's skin began to peel away in thin, papery layers, revealing raw, glistening muscle underneath. He howled in agony, thrashing against the invisible bonds that held him aloft. Blood shot out from his exposed flesh, pooling beneath him.
"Stop! Stop!"
Lizzie ignored him. She moved her other hand, and his bones began to splinter and crack, each fracture sending waves of torment through his mangled body. His screams reached a fever pitch, echoing through the room like the cries of a dying animal.
"You fed her hearts,"
Lizzie said coldly.
"Now I'm going to take yours."
Lizzie, the goddess, began to hum, Dennis's chest glowing faintly. He gasped, clutching at his sternum as an invisible force pulled his heart upward, pressing against his ribs. With a final wrenching pull, his heart tore free from his body, floating in midair, pulsing faintly as it dripped blood. Dennis slumped forward, his body collapsing into a lifeless heap. The heart hovered for a moment before Lizzie flicked her fingers, sending it flying into the abyss of her mouth. It vanished, consumed in an instant. The room fell silent, save for the ragged breathing of the survivors. Lizzie swayed on her feet, but she refused to collapse. She turned to Joey, Jessica, Tom, and Marjorie, her expression softening.
"It's over," she said quietly.
Tom stood, supporting Marjorie as she regained her strength.
"Lizzie, what about you?"
Lizzie looked at her hands, blood-stained and trembling.
I don't know," she admitted.
Marjorie, her voice weak, yet filled with gratitude, reached out a hand to her daughter.
"You saved us, Lizzie. You saved me."
She threw her arms around her daughter and sobbed. Dennis's twisted, mutilated body lay motionless on the floor. And that's the end of this part, and therefore the series. The big story that is Miracles Cast in Blood. I hope you enjoyed this story, and if you did, and you're on YouTube, I'd love it if you'd like this video. Subscribe for more and leave me a comment about your thoughts on this story. If you're anywhere else, like Spotify, for example, you know the drill. You guys are crazy over there on Spotify. Like, the Spotify algorithm loves you with all of the comments and the downloads and listens, so I really appreciate your support there. If you'd like to support this channel even more, and I take it to the algorithm. Well, you can go on Patreon because they can't throttle you there. And you can support the channel there with a handful of other patrons. So I really appreciate it. If you are a patron, it really does mean the most. I know I say this all the time. But anyways, with all that said, come join our Discord if you want to hang out. Otherwise, I guess I will see you in the next one. So take care now. Bye-bye then.